Turn with me to the scriptures, to 1 Chronicles, please. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Tonight's message is entitled, The Brevity of Life. The Brevity of Life. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, please, beginning to read at verse 10. I'll keep my voice up so you can hear me. Pastor Glenn brought a great message this morning. If you weren't here to hear it, I would advise you go and listen to it. It would help you, bless you, and it would be worth your while taking the time to do so. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For of all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days are on the earth, are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the hearts of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. We know the Lord will bless the reading there of his own word. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for so many turning out tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the encouragement, Lord, of your people and their presence with us. We thank you, Father, for your spirit among us. We thank you, Father, for your hand upon us. And even though the wind is still blowing strong and there's noise with this tent, we believe that thy spirit can speak through all of it, Lord. And so we pray that your word would have free course tonight. Lord, that you would help us with our own thoughts tonight, with our own willingness tonight. That you'd help us, Lord, with our own struggles tonight. But you'd help us to see the brevity of life and the need to be right with you. And so, Father, we pray that you'd speak to the saved and the unsaved alike, if there be any here. And, oh God, that you would save for time and eternity maybe someone who has come, who has been brought along to hear your word tonight. We believe, Lord, you bring people along in your providence. And Lord, we believe you bring them along according to your own sovereign will. So we pray, speak to the hearts of your people. Bless them and encourage them. And Father, may we glorify Christ in this place this evening. For Jesus' name's sake, we ask it and pray. Amen. Amen. King David, the King of Israel, named the King of Israel quite a number of times. But if you're taking notes, for example, in 2 Chronicles 23 and verse 1, he's called David, King of Israel, and he's also called David, sweet psalmist of Israel, singing and making music unto the Lord. And then later on, when David is dead and gone, his witness and his testimony speaks much of him. And of course, in Nehemiah 12 and 24, even there he is mentioned off as David, the man of God. What a title. What a testimony to have. To be a man of God, brother. To be a woman of God, sister. And then in Psalm 18 and verse 1, he's called David, the servant of the Lord. That's an even greater title. To be a servant of God is the greatest thing that a Christian could be called. David is called the servant of the Lord. Many times he's called the son of Jesse. And of course, the name Jesse is the word Yeshia, and it means to be wealthy, to possess. And David was in the loins of Jesse. Wealth and possession of all of these titles would be in his lineage. Wealthy and to possess. David is also known as David the Seventh. In other words, he was the seventh son of Jesse, and he's just called the Seventh. And it doesn't matter how far down the line you are. It doesn't matter where you are in the picking of society. God knew you, loved you, and called you. He knew David, loved David, called David. And in fact, David or David is his name. He is known as the Beloved. That's what his name really means. So here we have the lineage of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ through David. And then of course, David, who is the seventh, is in 1 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 15 for those who are taking notes on this. And then in 1 Samuel 13 and verse 14. And then it's rehearsed in Acts chapter 13 and verse 22. David is called a man after God's own heart. A man after God's own heart. And those words were said by the Lord himself. It's one thing having a testimony among people, but having a testimony before God is even better. It's even greater. Imagine God saying to you, that's a man, that woman is a woman. You can put your name there. After my own heart. Didn't say David was perfect in all his ways. It didn't say David never made any mistakes or he didn't have any failures. He had many throughout his life. But the Lord says he's a man after my own heart. David, whose heart was to build the temple and the palace. David, whose heart was to build it for the Lord, to the glory of God. But whose offer, listen, David's offer to build was rejected. Not by Israel, but by the Lord. Imagine that. After all of those names that David is known by. After that witness and testimony, David had it in his heart to do this great thing for the Lord. And the Lord said, no, David, you're not going to do it. He rejected it. God rejected it. He says, but David, you want to build me a house? I'm going to build you a house. I'm going to build your house up. And hence we have the throne of David, the lineage of David, right down throughout the years. Take note of this. David's heart was to build a temple and a palace. It was rejected by God. But, and this is a big but, he laid up in store. He laid up in store that which Solomon, his son, would need to complete the task. In other words, David thought of the ministry. David thought of the work of God that lay ahead of him. And so hence, David is looking ahead in our chapter. In our chapter, he starts out in verse 10 where our reading was, praising the God of Israel. And the language of his praise has to be and is inspired by God the Holy Ghost. It says in verse 10, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. Many of us are looking God to bless the congregation. David stood before the congregation and he blessed the Lord. In other words, he lifted his heart. He lifted his voice to worship the Lord. to give thanks unto the Lord. He didn't come and say, I'm feeling old, I'm full of pains and aches and all of this. He didn't say any of that. He says, Lord, I want to bless you. I want to thank you. I want to worship you. I want to praise you for your goodness to me. Even though he's an old man. Notice this. He wanted to praise God. Wherefore, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Notice the relationship. And it's rare in that sense in the Old Testament. It's not so much in the New Covenant with us. Our Father. The relationship he had with God. He says, you're our Father, and I want to bless you. He didn't say, you're our Father, and I want you to bless us. He says, you're our Father, and I want to bless you. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Very reminiscent of the prayer which Christ teaches the disciples. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Very, very reminiscent here. David's greater son telling the disciples, in this manner ye shall pray. Here is a model prayer. Bless the Lord from your heart. Worship him with all you have. Give thanks for everything he has done and love him for his goodness. Maybe if the church, I'm talking about universally, the blood washed, maybe if we give thanks more and praise more and worship more and ask for less, maybe it's then the blessing would come down and relationship would be closer with Almighty God. With Almighty God. Notice this. David, his heart is toward the Lord, and the Lord rejects the work that he wants to do. And then he lays up in store for Solomon. Just flick over the page to chapter 28. And when you get chance at home or wherever, you read this chapter. But just for time's sake, let your eye run down to verse 2. Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Howbeit, the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever, for he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler, and the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he liked me. Imagine God saying that. He liked me. Imagine God saying to you, I like you. See, as brothers and sisters, Christ commands us, a new commandment I give unto thee, that you love one another. I'm commanded to love you, even when I don't want to. And you're commanded to love me, even when you don't want to. Even when you don't feel like it. Love is a choice. Choose to love one another. But imagine God saying, but I like you. There's people you love and you don't like. I love you because I have to. But I don't like you. Isn't that the truth? But I don't like you. Notice here, the Lord says, I love you. I chose you. And I like you. Imagine being able to say with an assurance of the heart, the Lord likes me. Don't we all? I know Jesus loves me. And it's all, the Lord loves me. The Lord loves me. I know the Lord loves you. And I know the Lord loves me. But as many as can say, the Lord likes me. Sometimes, as we would say in Ulster, you couldn't like you if you're urgy. Talking about myself too, by the way.
But he says, David said, the Lord liked me. I was number 7. But the Lord liked me. No one else liked me. Even my dad sent me out to the field and forgot about me. But the Lord liked me. And brothers and sisters, when you and I get it into our hearts and into our minds that God has a choice. That God has called us unto salvation in Christ. That God loved you. God loves you. And let's serve him that we might be able to say, he even likes me. He even likes me. And he says, he liked me to make me king over all Israel. Now, this is happening toward the end of David's life. This is happening towards the end of David's life. In this chapter that we have read of chapter 29. David is declining in health. David feels the weakness coming into the flesh, into the body. David is aware of it. David is aware he's more years behind him than he has now in front of him. And David laid up in store for the temple, listen, to build the work. David laid up in store for Solomon, his son, to reign in the work or to lead it. David laid up in store for God's work to be continued. And David laid up in store a witness for all to see. You and I are speaking about it tonight. You and I are talking about it tonight. David laid an example for us to follow. To serve the Lord and to lay up in store should Jesus tarry. Should Jesus tarry to lay up in store for the next generation that comes along. To lay up in store for your children and mine, for your grandchildren and mine, for the next generation, because I believe until Christ returns, he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So until he returns, we are to co-work and labor for the Lord in this part of the vineyard. And notice, David led up for the glory of God. Remember, the temple was then built by Solomon. And I know we're going forward quite a few years here, but it was built by Solomon. And then it was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king who came in and took away the house of Judah. Sacked Jerusalem, as it were, and it was destroyed. The temple was gone. Solomon was gone. David was gone. Many other kings after David were gone. There were those who were in his generation, and the next generation was gone. But the witness remained. That's what I need you to see, brothers and sisters. And sometimes you're praying, you're seeking God, seeking for your family, for your loved ones, for your children, your grandchildren. And sometimes you go on out into eternity. The brevity of life is that it is short. Seems of loads of time, but it is short. And you go on out into eternity, but that work which has been laid up in store by you and your family, that witness, that testimony that you have left behind is not in vain. It will continue on even after we are gone, should Christ tarry. We must lay up in store for those who will come behind us. We must lay up in store and give of our time and give of our substance and give of ourselves that the work of God will continue on and the witness in these dark and dreadful evil days will still go on to the glory of Christ. The old Cambridge cricketer, he was a multi-millionaire of his day, C.T. Studd, and he penned. He became a missionary, but he had all the riches that he needed. Everything he wanted, he had it there. Brought up in one of these more aristocratic lifestyles. And he realized when he got saved, he realized that the kingdom of God was more important and the kingdom of Christ was more valuable to have. And listen to what he pens. You shall know the course of it. Just 2 verses in the course of it. 2 little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart, and from my mind would not depart. Only what life will soon be past, and only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day, my Lord, to meet and stand before that judgment seat. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. And it's only what's done for Christ will last. C.T. Studd gave the whole, the whole of his riches and his inheritance away. And he went into the mission field to serve the Lord. C.T. Studd became richer in the mission field than he was on the cricket pitch. In Hebrews chapter 11, if you'd like to turn with me, please. Hebrews chapter 11, it's known as Faith's Hall of Fame. Really, it should be called Faith's Hall of Faith, because it's all about faith. But it's about all those who are in the Scriptures who through faith have done great feats for God throughout their life. And I just want to look at two verses briefly in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. After mentioning many who had done great feats for God through faith, it says, all these died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Does that sound familiar? Strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Verse 15 of our reading tonight. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 15. For we are strangers and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. Here the Hebrew writer says this. He says, all of these ones who were used mightily of God, who were men and women of faith, they all died in faith. Yet they hadn't received the fullness of that which God had promised them. And people may say, well, there you are. God didn't answer their prayers. God didn't reveal and show revelation to the things that he had promised. But brothers and sisters and friends tonight, that's not what it really means. It meant the faith. They laid hold on these things by faith. Verse 13, all these died in faith, not having received the promises, having seen them afar off. In other words, faith enabled them to see something far away. This is the way it reads in the original text. You see, when you and I speak of heaven, when you and I sing of the glories of Christ, we don't completely see it. We see through a glass darkly, as it were. But we lay hold by faith. And we believe God that even should the death dew lie cold on our brow, and we leave and pass this scene of time, and life is gone in a flash, the brevity of life has come upon us, we can lay hold on it and say, I trust you, Lord. I've followed you, Lord. I know you, Lord. You're my Savior, Lord. I believe you, Lord. And I trust you can say that tonight, should it be you, that with all assurance of heart, with all sincerity, that you will be able to say, Lord, I'm entering eternity into your arms. I'm entering eternity into your care. With all assurance of heart, I know you, Lord. You see, if you don't have that fellowship now with him, if you haven't cultivated that fellowship now in this life, you'll be more concerned enter into eternity, wondering, are you right with God or not? People take it with a pinch of salt. I believe many people in church, and I believe some even in here. I hope not, but I believe there is. And they've got more churchianity than the half of Christ. Than they have of Christ. The old hymn writer says, and say, should the deaf dew lie cold on my brow, if ever I've loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. It's going to be a day when we're lying in that bed or wherever we are, and the brevity of life has seemed so short, or maybe before with loads more time. And if we're granted that time where we know the death dew's on our brow, it's at that moment, brother, it's at that moment, sister, when your love life and fellowship in Christ will really come into play. As you're being launched out into eternity, you can say, I've loved you in life, I've loved you in death, and I've praised you as long as you've lent us me breath. And now, Lord, the death dew's on my brow. If ever I've loved thee, looking into eternity, my Jesus, I love you now. I love you now. When people say to me, they got saved, but see, saying about loving the Lord, I don't get it. Well, I don't know if you're saved. You can't help yourself but love him. If you're saved by his grace and washed in the blood and fellowshipping with him, you fall in love with him, as the old chorus says, over and over and over again. You fall in love with him. And then he come into my life and saved me. I can honestly tell you, there's not a day that has went past where I've said, Lord, I don't think I love you. Every day, I love you, Lord. I feel it in my heart. It's burning in my breast that I love him with all of my being, with all of my heart, with all of my soul. I love the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am unashamed. Do you love him tonight? Do you have fellowship with him? Have you got a love relationship with him in his spirit? Do you even know him? Having seen them afar off, it gives the idea of looking away ahead and in faith saying there's something far better. I believe in the fullness of the kingdom come, there's something far better for us. We can't even comprehend it. There's something far better. Having seen them afar off and were persuaded and embraced them. See that, persuaded of them and embraced them. It means, it gives the idea to greet a close acquaintance or to see someone afar off. You know, someone you know really well and you go, oh, how you doing? You know, it's the idea of this. How you doing? How are you? Gives the idea of, you ever see the ships going out from dock and maybe it's one of the naval ships and all the sailors are lined along and you see them all along the pier, their loved ones all waving to them coming in or going out, and they're all waving and waving. This is the idea of this. They've seen it with faith. They embraced it. They held on to it and they're waving at it. Heaven, I'll see you there, heaven. And I get a chance that one day I would say to my own daughters, if I get the chance around my bed and I can speak, I'll be saying, I'm embracing heaven. Girls, I'll see you there if you stick close to Christ. Brothers and sisters, by faith tonight, we should be waving, as it were, to heaven. We're homeward bound. In the glories of Christ and the grace of God, heaven, we will greet thee. And we will lay hold and embrace thee. David was one of these people named in Hebrews 11, verse 32. Look. 11, verse 32, please. It says,
And what shall I say more, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David, also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. David isn't known here. I want you to get this. David isn't known here now for building the temple. David's known for laying up in store. David's known for laying up in store. David's known for his testimony. Even though he failed many times, he leant on the grace of God, repented of his sin. Each time repented from a repenting heart. He's not perfect. But David's in the Faith Hall of Fame, and he isn't known for building the temple. He's known for his faith in God. David didn't seek faith on his deathbed. David didn't leave a spurious witness. David didn't leave a wandering family behind. In other words, I wonder where he is. David saw the promises through faith. David was persuaded by them, embraced them. David waved at them from a distance. And David confessed and died in faith. And so 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 15, please. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners. As were all our fathers, our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. Notice, our days are what? As a shadow. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there's none abiding. David here is speaking on the brevity of his life. David, whose life has been eventful. David, whose life has had many ups and downs and trials and tribulations, failures and faults. David, who has seen him as a boy slay a lion and a bear, who has went into the battlefield and slew a giant. David, who from a shepherd boy in a field is now a king on a throne, yet rejected by God for the work of the palace and the temple. David, whose life has seen him being rejected from a boy in a field by his own father when Samuel came for the anointing. Now he is an anointed king. David, whose life has had many family problems, his own son Absalom tried to have him killed. Tried to kill him himself, chased him out of Jerusalem, and he hid in the caves of the rocks. His own son, who turned the people against him. Yet David was anointed of God. Yet David was the chosen. David was the one who said, God loves me. And David could say, the Lord liked me. Yet he had so many family problems. Now, I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up, but see if I went around here, everyone, to this man here, said, whose family ever has problems? And you were honest and you put your hand up because your family had a problem. Everybody's hand would have to go up. We've all got our problems. David had his problems. Didn't mean God didn't love him. And it didn't mean God didn't like him. And it didn't mean it wasn't God's choice. It didn't mean that God had got rid of him. David's life has certainly been eventful. And David is reckoned as about 70 years of age in our reading. And David says, our days on earth are as a shadow, and there is nothing abiding. Notice, there is the brevity of life. There is nothing abiding. In other words, it's like a shadow every day, and then it's gone. Nothing abiding. But what was abiding was his witness. What was abiding was his testimony.
that even though he was a failure in many ways before God, yet he was still the Lord's. What a testimony. Ken Davidson, the pastor. Ken Davidson, the preacher. Ken Davidson, a father, a husband. Ken Davidson is not perfect, but I serve a perfect Savior. I serve a perfect Savior. And he loves me in spite of me, not because of me. And you know what, brothers and sisters? The same goes for you too. He loves you in spite of you, not because of you. And I can't speak in other ways for him. I know when he loves you, he chooses to love you. He loves you. But I don't know where he keeps liking us or not. Sometimes we are a wee bit unlikable before God. But he loves us. Listen to Psalm 90, a psalm of Moses. I'm going to lift out just a verse here. Verse 10. Moses says, the days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. In other words, Moses gives the idea of, well, 70 years of promise. Now listen, I understand people say 70 years of promise, but it's not really a promise. Because there are many who have died young. Where was the promise? And there's many who have died over a century of years old. Where was the promise? They have overshot the promise. It's not really a promise, but the idea is he gives us an estimate. He gives us an estimate. He says, and if you're strengthening your body, God will give you more. You see, Moses writing this, you know what age Moses was when he died shortly after this? 120. Yet he says God gives us 70 years, possibly 80. He got 120. For 40 years, he was in the palace of Egypt. For 40 years. For the next 40 years, he was in the desert as a shepherd. And that 80 years were the years that he's possibly speaking about. But the next 40 years were the years he was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. Those 80 years were the training ground for the 40 years at the end. Listen to Deuteronomy 34 and verse 7. As Moses was 120 years old, when he died, his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. You know what this tells me? His eye wasn't dim. He had his fullness of strength. His natural force did not abate. How did he die then? People may say, well, of old age. But he was in full health and strength. Moses had a son in death. The Lord says, finish, come on. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Yet he's in full strength. His family could say, but he was in full health. He was in full strength. We know he was old, but he was in full health. He was in full strength. It didn't even abate in him. But the Lord said, I'm the one who gives and I'm the one who takes away. You know, today we're hearing a lot about sudden deaths. Young people especially, fit, healthy sports people, athletes, footballers, sudden death. Hearing it everywhere. All of them vaccinated, fully vaccinated. All of them. But Moses' sudden death wasn't this. Wasn't something caused by man. The Lord said, Moses, your work on earth is done. Come. You see, Moses packed in so much. Some may say he led a long and a full life. But Moses says, listen to what Moses says, of the brevity of life. For it is soon cut off when we fly away. We would say, what? You lived to 120, Moses, what do you want? What do you want? In your full health. You weren't going and sitting in the A&E for 24 hours at a doctor seeing you. Your full health, Moses. You weren't sitting every morning before 8 o'clock phoning this doctor's surgery and you end up talking to the receptionist. You were in full health, Moses. What are you trying to say, Moses? Brothers and sisters, the brevity of life is throughout the scripture. The brevity of life is that how short it is. Some shorter than others. But how short the years seem to be, how condensed and how quickly they seem to have passed by. Let me read some of them out to you. For we've had our reading, 1 Chronicles 29 and 15. Our days on earth are as a shadow and there is none abiding. We've had Psalm 90 and 10. For it is soon cut off and we fly away. Listen to Psalm 144 and verse 4. Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. In other words, man's like, you're here 1 minute and you're gone the next. You lay in the grave. There's a headstone maybe put up, and that your family maybe will clean up your headstone and make sure it's looked after, and maybe the grass around it is cut or whatever. By the time the grandkids come, they might look after it a bit. By the time the great-grandkids come, who? My granddad, great-granddad Davidson, who? Gone. And yet everyone who has died in Christ, it's like a seed planted into the ground. And when he returns, he's going to call it from the ground. He doesn't forget one who has died in him. Not one does he forget who dies in faith. Even all of those of Hebrews 11, he knows where their body is laying. Job 7 verses 6 and 7. Job says, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. You see the weaver's shuttle and the wee shuttle goes across the loom. Day one, day two, day three. It's not the way they seem to go. All of a sudden, do you know this week, I think it's this week maybe, or was it last week? We're here in this tent 3 years. 3 years? Would you believe that? Days are spent like a weaver's shuttle. Look, they're swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is wind. Mine eyes shall no more see good. Listen to Job again. Job 9, 25 and 26. Now my days are swifter than a post. That means they used to send out a rider with a letter. And they used to read it around the towns in Israel. They used to maybe go, maybe on a horse, or maybe it was a camel, I don't know what they went out on, a donkey or whatever. But they were quick as they could to bring the news. This is the proclamation from the king. This is a proclamation to come to Jerusalem. And they would have read it out. Hezekiah sent the post out. The northern kingdom of Israel were taken away captive. And there was a remnant that were left. And we're told Hezekiah sent out the posts. You send out your post. We'll send out a post. Come down and worship at Jerusalem, even though you've been our enemies for so many years. Come down, said the house of Judah. And we're told some of Asher went down. That's why Anna of Asher is there. When Jesus is born and dedicated in the temple, we're told Asher comes down. That's another story for another time. But here's the thing. Job says my days are swifter than a post. My days are that quick, the news doesn't even get to me anymore. I don't even know what's happening to me. They flee away. They see no good. Verse 26, they are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to the prey. Did you ever see the eagle soaring? And there's the prey there. And it dives down, lifts its prey, whether it's a fish in the water or an animal on the ground. It dives down. This is what he says. My days are going quicker than that. That's how I feel, he says. Where's my life going? Speaking on the brevity of life. Job 14, verses 1 and 2. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down, and fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. The flower comes up. Aren't those flowers lovely? Sure, by the time you appreciate them and you come back, maybe you'll see them a few times. Willie Blackpants, lovely flowers out there, and they're beautiful. And then as the season starts to change, the flowers are gone. They're gone. It's the brevity of life. Psalm 103, verses 15 and 16. As for man, his days are as grass. Think about this. Your grass grows. And you cut your grass. It's gone. Allison says our grass lives longer than anybody else's, by the way. It's pretty darling. But this is what, this is the brevity of life throughout the scriptures. There's nothing that you're thinking tonight that you have been through recently that the Bible doesn't understand or comprehend or even reach out to you with to say, we understand and we get it. Because we're all going through this life. For the wind passeth over it and is gone, and the place whereof thereof shall know it no more. And hence we're warned in Proverbs 27 and 1, to boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. A couple of more scriptures here. James 4 and 14. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. See the steam coming out of a kettle and it's just gone. The brevity of life. That's why it is of the utmost importance that a man or a woman are saved. It's of the utmost importance that a man and a woman are serving. Walking with Christ. Has a fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Soon it's gone. Paul in Ephesians 5 and verse 16 tells us, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Remember my pastor used to say, it can mean double up your efforts. And it can do. But really Paul is saying here, take advantage of every opportunity that presents itself to you. Double up your effort. Every opportunity in God, every opportunity to lay up in store like David, every opportunity to witness, to testify, to speak of Christ. Just take every opportunity you can. Live life before God to the fullness. Listen, if you live life all the time in the doldrums, you're missing out in life. If you miss out in life, you're missing out in a lot of things God wants to do and bless you in. And here's another thing, brothers and sisters, tonight. If you live life in bitterness, you know what bitterness is like? It's like you drinking poison and expecting the person you hate to die. That's what it's like. It's like you drinking poison. I'm expecting that person to die. That's why we should always, in the fullness before God, now I'm not talking about out clubbing and drinking and pubbing and all. I'm talking about in righteousness and holiness of life. We should give our whole life laying up in store of faith and abundance that we have, giving our very time to the Lord. That whenever we see Him, we'll not be ashamed before Him. And suddenly life, we see the brevity of life. Brevity just really means the shortness of time or duration of life. So, told you this morning, so this is where I'm going to close this. I was looking in the mirror. As I looked in the mirror, one day I looked and I thought, no way, sometimes you just gaze a wee bit longer. And when I was looking in the mirror, I thought it was a window and some outlaw was looking back at me. And I thought, what happened there? What happened there? And it made me think of something. Believe it or not, I was sitting on a plane some years ago, going over to Spain for a holiday. And I got this thought about this sort of thing and started typing it into the notes on the phone. So I looked them up. I've changed it a little, but I'm going to read it to you about the brevity of life. And I simply called it graying hair and an aging face. I was talking to someone this morning. I said, next month we're officially open 7 years in CET. Next month. And I'm at a desk like this, talking to someone beside me. And unbeknownst, somebody took a photo here and sent it to me. And she said to my hair, it's black. Now, there are those there. I looked at one or two and I sort of moved my eyes like this. Yeah. There's one or two there and their rewards in heaven as far as the hair is concerned. Because it's gone. They've yielded their hair to the years that have gone by. So you can put it there, a balding head or a baldy head and an aging face, if that is you, if it fits. But I'm going by me. I was looking at the grays in my hair and I went, what has happened, you know? This is what I wrote. This morning I looked into the mirror and saw someone looking back at me with graying hair and an aging face. At first I was saddened and somewhat down as I looked and stared at my reflection in the mirror. I then asked myself two questions. How did all this happen so quickly? And how do I deal with a situation like this? There I was at a crossroads in my life. As although I'm still young to some, yet I'm really old to others. This hasn't really happened so quickly at all, as it has taken years for me to get to this point, but it seems to have crept up upon me. Graying hair and an aging face, how could this be mine? In a moment like this, I think upon the Lord and I trust in his enduring, unchanging, immutable and everlasting word. The help, the hope and the comfort it brings is of inestimable worth and value to my soul. Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 4 came to my mind. Even to your old age I am he, and even to your hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, I will even carry and will deliver you. And God reminded me yet again of Proverbs 16 and 31. The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Proverbs 20 and verse 29 again refreshed my mind. The glory of young men is their strength. The beauty of old men is their gray hair. What a blessing it is to be where I am in life. What an abundance of grace has been shown to me throughout my life. What an immeasurable amount of abounding grace has been given to me that I have made it thus far. that by God's grace I have seen this far and lived this long. What a tremendous gift of life, especially from the life I lived and the depths I found myself in, trapped and bound, lost and undone, Christless, godless, hopeless and helpless. By His grace and through God's mercy and great love, I was brought up out of an horrible pit and from the miry clay of sin and despair. And now, all these years later, with graying hair and an aging face, I can truly, fully, and undoubtedly say with confidence and in full conviction of heart, what an honor, what a joy, what a great peace it is to be able to proclaim and profess that I am a child of God. What appreciation I must show as many of my family, my friends and peers haven't made the place and privilege of having grey hair on an aging face. Many untold millions have never seen past their mother's womb alive. And many have never made their first day at school. Many have never had their first job or received their first pay packet, nor seen their hopes and dreams be fulfilled and realized or come to pass. Many have never had the chance to have life experiences, whether for the good or the bad, to grow in knowledge and wisdom due to the brevity of their life and their days being cut short. How privileged I am to have made it this far. The graying hair and the aging face tells a story of many days of life with its highs and lows. It's good and it's not so good, with each wrinkle speaking of an allotted time, allotted to me by a merciful and gracious God, and of His preserving hand upon my life, even when I did not know Him, yet He knew me. For every second of the day, all 864,000 of them, and for every heartbeat, all 100,000 per day, along with 22,000 breaths in 24 hours, God has been gracious, God has been good, God has been compassionate, and God has been merciful to me. I have blinked approximately 1,000 times per hour, and so I have missed out even seeing so much while on this journey. And the process of aging, but I know with every heartbeat, every breath, every blink of an eye, during every second, He has given me opportunity to love Him, to serve Him, to praise Him, to honor Him, to worship Him, to glorify Him, to know Him, to pray to Him, and to live before Him. As I look at my graying hair and aging face, I realize that I am truly blessed as I have not made it this far, that many have not made it this far, and so I am thankful. I can be glad and rejoice in that graying hair and aging face. So, the next time I look in the mirror and that person is looking back out at me, instead of feeling down or thinking I have more years behind me than I have in front of me, I will remember this and be glad. Be appreciative and give thanks to the Lord that I am on this side of the sod today, and that He has afforded me another day to walk before Him and to be a profitable servant for His glory. I will remember Isaiah 38:19. The living, He shall praise Thee as I do this day. I will remember I have memories of years gone by, whereas others have had not. I have a testimony of God's saving grace. I have a message to give of redemption and forgiveness of sin through the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. I will rest in this knowledge, knowing with a full assurance that when the Lord does call time, this graying hair and aging face goes all the way of all flesh unto its rest. Then the Lord will take me through the valley of the shadow of death, and I will fear no evil, for He will be with me, His rod and His staff to comfort me. That graying hair and aging face will rise again in that great and bright resurrection morning. It will all be gone in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That graying hair and aging face will be changed to be like unto him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. This mortal shall put on immortality. This corruptible have put on incorruption. Brevity is swallowed up with eternity. The brevity of this life will end where eternity will begin. So next time you're looking and you start thinking, why, how did that happen? All the years have went, one minute you're going to school, next thing you're leaving school, one minute you're starting work, next thing you're retiring. Talking to someone this morning and I said, I used to always go and speak to Pastor McConnell, go down to his house about the work, about things, spiritual matters, that he would know that he's come through many years of experience and used to sit for hours talking to him over tea, mugs of tea. And used to sit and talk to him and talk to him and pick his brains and his wealth of knowledge of the life that he had lived and the service for Christ. And we had great fellowship together. And I'd done it on a regular basis. He'd have phoned me nearly every day, sometimes for months on end. How are you, son? How you getting on, son? Are you doing all right, son? How's the work going, son? That's all I kept hearing. And he was my father in the faith, so to speak. And then when he passed away, I found it strange. Because all younger pastors started phoning me. And I said to Allison, I've become the A-lad. All the younger ones are coming and asking for my advice. How did that happen? He passed it to me. And we must pass it on to the next. The brevity of life means it's... You can live 120 years like Moses. But Moses might say his life was short when he's talking to Methuselah. 969 years. Methuselah, you lived 969 years. Yes, I did. Boy, well, I was only a child, really, at 120 years. And yet there are children dying. Babies being massacred in the womb. Young, healthy people passing away, taking sick others. It breaks our hearts. It's not meant to be like this. And we can say, how does all this come to pass? Well, brothers and sisters, tonight, all I can say is this. That to those of us who feel so far away from our loved ones who have went on in Christ, I know every day might seem like a year. But for those of us who our loved ones have went on in Christ, you watch the brevity, the shortness of life. It means they're only a wee way away. They're just over the hill. We'll see them in the morning. Christ will return. And the brevity of life won't matter anymore. Because those of us who are saved will spend an eternity with him forever and ever and ever and ever. Tonight, friend, are you saved? Are you saved? Trusting Christ and all that he's done on the cross, are you saved? That trust tonight you are. Trust tonight you're his. You might say, well, how did I get saved? Well, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Talk to one of us and we'll point you to the Savior tonight. We'll point you to the Christ, the Savior, the only Savior. And you can say, my life on earth might be short, but I know that I will spend an eternity. And grab hold of it by faith I'm grabbing heaven tonight by faith. Lord, I know it's just a bit away until you come again or until you call me home. May God bless us tonight. May God bless each and every one of you. Billy.